Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today. The Kennedy boys were playing with fire, and they were about to be burned. So maybe they needed to do something about it. Maybe the Kennedys needed to do something about Marilyn.
Trigger warning. Sensitive mental health topics, including drug abuse, self-harm, suicide. When did the Bobby thing start?
James.
After Jack. The meeting place was at Peter Lawford's house in Malibu.
We need to talk about the Kennedy siblings.
Episode 18.
Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
It's hard to know where to start if you don't start with the truth.
Marilyn Monroe. And what irony in that.
Oh my goodness. It's just crazy.
How has this been that big of a mystery for so long? And Blood and Business can only do so much.
Wow. It has been a minute since we've sat down and done a KFM. There was absolutely too much to say about Marilyn Monroe.
I'm surprised how much I liked the Marilyn episodes, to be honest.
Thank you.
So not my cup of tea.
Hey, that's what you said about Frank and Peter and the whole bit.
I know. I'm shocked.
Today is going to be a mix of a traditional chatty KFM, sussing out the situation, investigating all the things, but also a story KFM. So much like Peter Lawford and Frank Sinatra and all of those like behind the scenes stories, we will be reading extra little bits that didn't make it into the main episode, but that are very fun or very terrifying. So we are going to be doing three Marilyn KFMs. We did three Marilyn episodes, and we've got just as much to talk about now in our KFM format.
If not more, now that we can bring some clarity to the situation. We wanted the main episodes to obviously go first and not be interrupted with KFMs because there was so much that we couldn't talk about.
You have to know the whole story.
The whole story was laid out before you because if you didn't catch on, episode 18 is Marilyn's perspective, Marilyn's circle's perspective, and sort of tainted by her mental illness, her loneliness, and just her perspective in life. And then the gossip that surrounded her opinion throughout the years post-mortem. Episode 19 and 20 were the Kennedys' perspective, also tend to believe maybe the more accurate perspective.
Episode 18 was sourced from Marilyn's friends' comments, what they remember her telling them, and the FBI reports. Basically, Marilyn herself and the FBI reports, which is basically Hoover.
Hoover's smear campaign.
Monroe and Hoover wrote episode 18. Episode 19 and 20, pan back, and then you get to see all of the outside
perspectives.
Yeah.
It seems that Pat may be the consistently missing link in all accounts of Marilyn's relationship with the Kennedy family.
Okay, also, if you are just listening to the Marilyn Monroe episodes, which are the Kennedy siblings episode 18, 19, and 20, and Kennedy family meeting 18, 19, and 20.
Then have we got more stories for you.
Yeah, you have got to go back and listen to at least bare minimum the Peter Lawford.
I would listen from episode 11 or like, probably 11 on because it's Jack and Jackie. So JFK and Jackie, their intimate
relationship.
Then
White House stories, Pat and Peter's relationship.
Pat and Peter Lawford are the Hollywood story. Like they're connected to everyone. Frank Sinatra,
Bing Crosby,
Judy Garland.
The Mafia.
Fred Otash. He's like
Judith Campbell Exner,
the mob spy in Hollywood. It's just, there's so
Marilyn
many.
Marilyn Monroe,
dramatic threads.
Lots of Frank Sinatra emotional explosions, lots of Peter Lawford insider stories, what happened to him as a child, why he was the way that he was.
Ava Gardner.
Yeah, Ava Gardner. Just so many good Hollywood, literally just, we call it the red string, but it just threads together so well and just adds to the greater picture of Marilyn Monroe if you came for that.
They're all connected.
It also explains so much more about how Jack and Bobby, JFK and Bobby, were involved with the whole Hollywood scene. Like, why? It explains why, basically. Mm-hmm. And then if you are more interested in Jack's affairs and his life in the White House, then you have to listen to the Mimi episodes, which are episode 17 and then KFM 17,
mm-hmm.
part one and two.
Episode 17 kind of sets up the whole scene, so definitely listen to that first. But then the KFMs is where we actually get into the affair, the nitty gritty, the behind the scenes, closed doors.
How it all happened.
The White House bathroom
scenes.
All the stuff that you never needed to know, but always wanted to know.
So yeah, start with episode 11, like Cassie said. Mm-hmm. Listen to the main episodes and then the Kennedy family meetings that correlate to the main episodes afterwards.
So episode 11, KFM 11. And by the way, it's in our description of each episode. But if you don't know what KFM means, it stands for Kennedy Family Meeting. So if we would have had KFMs separated, like if we would have had our discussion separated in season one, it would have been DFM for Disney Family Meeting, BFM for Bouvier Family Meeting, and so on
and so forth. But act one is the Kennedy family
as kids, like growing up.
Yeah,
quintessential childhood. It's like 1920s
origin
era.
Story.
1920s to 1940s era. If you enjoy...
From poverty to presidency, Playboy in the making, JFK as a kid.
And if you enjoy like World War II era vintage nostalgia, you will love Live and Die for Act One. It's so good. And it really comes through the stories. So in episode 19, along with Pat's perspective, you're also hearing from police, you're hearing from Peter, Milton Ebbins, Secret Service, Joan Nair, her director of Something's Got to Give, Henry Weinstein, Pat Newcomb. There's just like so many more voices and all honestly, telling a similar story.
Yeah, honestly, even more so than episode 18, I think episode 19 and 20 give a better picture into what Marilyn was actually thinking because of the interviews with the more unbiased, the more like friends that were actually her closest friends. Less Eunice Murray, less Dr. Greenson, less Jean Martin.
It's like Hildy and Joan Greenson were excited that Marilyn had talked to them about something sensational and they were excited that they knew her a little bit. But the people who really truly knew Marilyn would never have believed those stories.
They were aware more of what state that Marilyn was in, why
how
she was saying
credible.
Why she was saying the things that she was saying and what she really meant by them. Mm-hmm. What was
they just
believable.
Knew her better.
Yeah. They knew her. They knew her life. They knew how her brain worked more so than the people who were kind of like almost painting her to be someone that she wasn't.
Right. They knew Marilyn Monroe. They did not know Norma Jean Baker Mortensen. So episode 18 was all the rumors, all the allegations, all the quotes from people who knew Marilyn or who was friends with Marilyn that seem pretty convincing and convicting of the Kennedys at first glance. But then episode 19 and 20, you get to pan back just a little. Take the filter off, open your eyes, remove the blindfold. And thus,
here
you get
we
to see what really happened. And when I discovered the rest of the story after watching that Unheard Tapes documentary and hearing, you know, all of the sensational rumors my whole life, my mind exploded. I mean, that was one of the biggest surprises all season was the rational explanation behind Marilyn's comments and the fact that her friends weren't lying. It seemed that she was fibbing. Yeah, originally you're like, okay, all of these people can't be fibbing, as Tara Borelli put it. all these people were Marilyn's friends and they're all saying that she said this. She was in a relationship with Bobby. She went on a date with Bobby.
She danced with Bobby.
She wrote down things to talk to him about and then he called his dad. But then
you think about who Marilyn is, who the Kennedys are.
And then get the story from people who, like you said, knew Marilyn on a deeper level than those acquaintances, and everything just makes sense completely. So we've got a list of some of the big accusations and we're going to re-examine them now that we've heard both sides of the story. And then we're also going to point out some of those big things that we want to make sure we're clear. Like if Jack and Marilyn were only together for one weekend, which we're pretty confident is true, then the one weekend was Bing Crosby's house.
Well, Marilyn told me that there was a new man in her life, that he was just, you know, really terrific, and that he was really neat, you know, cute. It was girly talk. Calling him the general.
Joan Greenson. So, yeah, she did call him the general. She was talking to Bobby.
She was in a new relationship with the general. It was just a platonic relationship in which Bobby was making sure that she was okay. Listen, don't call the White House.
Call me.
Step away from Jack Kennedy because he's going to take this to a level that I won't. I trust myself.
Yeah.
Call me.
It's just nuts. Well, and obviously, like, they can't have her calling the White House all
the
time. Like,
she's calling. I didn't even know. That did not even register. She was calling the public number.
Phone number. I mean, she looks crazy. And all these people.
Like you're Marilyn Monroe.
And you're calling the public number to the White House. Like, that's so.
Which in and of itself, to me, is very telling.
Yeah.
You only had the public number until Patricia Kennedy Lawford decided she was fed up with this crap and she was going to give you Jack's private number. And then you get on the phone with Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh.
But that sounds to me like it was more Pat's doing at Marilyn's request.
Yeah.
And had nothing to do really with Bobby or Jack.
Right. Yeah. So, oh my gosh, hearing that back now with all of that information, it's like, yeah. And I see exactly how that would sound. And I see exactly how Marilyn painted it.
Yeah.
But
because that
simply wasn't true.
It simply was not how it went down. It also, I can so see how that's just not even that far of a stretch from the truth. Like,
absolutely.
If that's what you want to believe, that's what you believe.
And like you said, Marilyn lived in her own reality and could paint things very easily to be something that they were not. Change it 5% and it's a whole different planet, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, it's just like everything that is this whole huge story has threads.
In truth.
And or it's like most of it is true.
But the context, Marilyn did dance with Bobby and his wife was in the other room.
And then he called his father to rub it in his face and ask if he wanted to talk to Marilyn Monroe.
It all happened. It was just Bobby was a tourist
in his sister's world and Marilyn was taking notes. I don't think he would have known that she was listening to his conversations. So I think that what the friend meant by that, I don't know if it was Pat Newcomb.
Yeah, Pat.
Okay.
I think.
Or Joan Braden. Maybe it's Joan Braden. One of those ladies. They were basically saying that they think that a lot of the stuff in Marilyn's diary that was about the Cuban Missile Crisis, the
insider information that she would have only been able to get from the Attorney General or the President.
And the theory that Bobby and Jack were both being so reckless with this top secret information that they needed to do something about Marilyn Monroe. It's like, okay, when you look at it through the close intimate friend's perspective, she's like, I think that Bobby was literally having work calls at his sister's house. And Marilyn is sitting there leaning to the side, like trying to hear what's going on, and heard some of the stuff that he probably should have gone into a different upstairs room. Bedroom yeah. and closed the door.
He just didn't think anyone was going to be hearing that much.
Who cares? It's like, I'm this is boring. Doing boring work yeah. crap. And Marilyn is literally trying to find a way where she can feel like they would see her as like an equal or as like one of them, basically.
Yeah. Which she was lines afraid. Up with her asking for yeah. topics to talk about with Bobby when she saw him.
Mm-hmm. She just wanted to feel like she belonged.
Yeah. Which, like we said, if you listened to episode 20 after the outro music, we talked about yeah. this. But if you're desperate, if you want to die, you do not want to live anymore.
Doesn't matter how you look.
Yeah. She was trying to hang on for dear life and yeah. she was trying to mastermind her way through
survival,
surviving, coping, living. And it makes total sense that she saw the Kennedys as
a last
ditch effort
yeah.
to have safety, have security, have family. I mean, they
have a reason to live, literally.
And it was truly all at her fingertips. It was not this yeah. grand delusion. She
should have gone about it from a different way. Truly, she should have.
Pat and Peter and the Kennedys wanted her to be
yeah, around.
A family friend, like Judy Garland, like Lem. She just, because of all of the trauma, mm-hmm. abandonment, mental illness. Yes, it's like what I said about if Frank Sinatra would have met Marilyn when they were younger. If mm-hmm. someone would have gotten to her young enough, it would have changed everything, but they didn't. And if Marilyn would have been friends with Pat and Peter and the Kennedy family when she was younger, she could have been
friends with them.
Yes, and, mm-hmm. and like a pseudo, like Lem. Like right. a little adoptee of yeah. the Kennedy family. But because
you're a Kennedy now.
She was already on the brink. You said she had overdosed 12 times.
Yeah, she had survived
year.
12 over. So basically once a month for the last year of her life.
She was already on her last leg. So like we talked about, I just think that her course was already so set in stone that there was yeah. nothing that could have been done. It's just so sad. But her mental state and how her mental illness, trauma, toxic perspective.
I mean, outside of a miracle, I do think that God could have saved her.
Yeah. The Kennedys could not have.
Could not have. No human can fix what had been already etched.
Yeah, unfortunately. So her trying to hold on to the Kennedys mm-hmm. and Frank Sinatra.
It's like a person who's drowning. They're going to try to grab on with everything they've got to
survive.
And it's like a hyper dramatic panic state where if you would just calm down, stand up, breathe.
Yeah, like, you're not thinking, swim. I want to drown this other person.
Right. Like, just let somebody drag you to the shore, then you'll be fine. But you're literally dying and you're freaking out. And so it just becomes a bad situation.
Couldn't have had a healthy relationship with anyone at that point. It was.
Yeah. She needed too much.
Yeah.
And she was going to grasp and claw to try to get it.
But it sounds so doom and gloom yeah, and like and there was no hope for her. I don't think that's true at all. It's just the course that she was on. She just kept taking that course and that
she
was
kept
not good.
Feeding Marilyn.
Yeah, she kept feeding Marilyn and Marilyn killed Norma Jean.
I do also want to say, like we've talked about it in other episodes, but we sound harsh towards Marilyn, but the situation that she was in was dire. I mean, not having anybody who really knows you, anybody who you can really count on. The Kennedys were a great hangout and they were great friends. They weren't family. They weren't a spouse. They weren't
someone
siblings.
Who knows where you're at any time of day.
Yeah. And cares about.
Yeah. Who cares about if you get home at night? And Peter and Pat freaking cared more than any.
Yeah.
Like they did care if she was home mm-hmm. safe. They just
weren't going to be there to lay in bed with her. And
yeah,
you know.
They were each other. They had other priorities higher than...
Yes, they weren't. She was never going to be able to be any of their number one.
Because they had spouses and children and family. Yeah, we sound harsh, but in my mind, I am not harsh on her. Like, I'm thinking, I am so surprised and I so respect the...
Yeah.
Clinging on for life. Like, I don't think that I would have lasted that long. That blows my mind. The amount of sheer willpower and strength and courage to reach out that many times for help over and over and over again, desperate for anything. I think I would have given up a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have given up as a teenager. And she lasted 3 solid decades with a hand of horrible cards.
Literally, we watched Field of Dreams the other day.
And made lemonade out of lemons, honestly. Like, not for herself in the end, but...
She tried. She didn't know it wasn't going to be lemonade.
Yeah,
she was trying to make lemonade out of lemons. She just didn't reach for the right thing, which our survival brains rarely do. They're for temporary survival in this moment. They are not for 10 years down the road. Yeah. How is this going to affect me?
They're for instant security, not long-term.
Quote,
Jack, that started in the early and mid-50s.
James said. Gloria Romanoff's answer to when she first heard any information about Marilyn and the Kennedys, quote,
he'd been out here on and off all through the 50s because he had a lot of friends here, you know, spending lots of time.
And looking back, it's like, okay, just because he was in Hollywood a lot, spending lots of time, doesn't mean that it was with Marilyn Monroe. And like, people were saying, well, we didn't know who Jack Kennedy was, so like, nobody cared. When it's like in a crime, when nobody cares at the time, it's just a random Tuesday. I don't remember what I was doing.
Right.
If you're not guilty. So that, but then looking back, everyone's trying to make up like this story
that fits. Well, I think that that's what happened too with the whole Peter Lawford thing, that Peter Lawford was the procurer for Kennedy.
Yeah.
That he was the pimp. I don't think so. I think Peter Lawford was friends with Marilyn and people in with hindsight. And with the rumors of the affair, because of all the happy birthday stuff, because of Marilyn's death, people are looking back to try to make sense of it and putting the pieces together themselves of, oh, he was around a lot in the 1950s. Oh, Peter and Pat hosted parties and Jack would come to them and Jack is a serial cheater.
And like maybe, yeah, his house could have been the landing spot for like Jack and Bobby. No, not Bobby. See, it's like even so ingrained into my head. Like I believed them for so long.
But Jack and Teddy.
Jack and Teddy.
And also, why is Teddy never in the... Like Teddy was with Judith Campbell Exner. He was at those...
But I guess he never went to Pat and Peter's really much.
Events? I don't know. Because Teddy was like Jack.
For sure.
And Bobby wasn't. I think they took Marilyn's testimony.
There was one story.
Gossip, lies. They took what Marilyn was saying about the Kennedy brothers, about going on dates with Bobby, and they made the past fit.
Yeah, it's like whenever police officers have the suspect that they want to convict for the crime, and so then they make the evidence fit that suspect rather than just following the evidence with an open mind and seeing where that lands them. Finding the suspect by following the evidence, which is the only way you can solve a crime. I don't know that Peter didn't like hook Jack up with some women, kind of like Dave Powers did.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it wasn't like this freaking human trafficking ring.
And it also
that people painted out to be.
It also, I think people thought that every time, because there's all these rumors that every time Marilyn was in the city, or every time Jack was in the city, Marilyn would go to the hotel at, it's just like all of these real scenario, quote unquote scenarios, or real.
Like, I think that the only truth in that is that the Kennedys had a place at the Carlisle Hotel, that there's no evidence of them meeting up. It's just, like you said, people know that later on they slept with each other. And so they try to, like, backtrack and make it, like, this dramatic thing that it wasn't.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes we even do that when we're trying to figure out why someone would have done something. Where we, like, take what they did and try to get there. Because we're trying to put ourselves in their shoes.
Right.
How could this have happened right under my nose? So if I'm Marilyn's friend, and I remember she's talking about someone, the general. I don't think that your first, I mean, unless you're really good friends with Marilyn Monroe and you know who she is, you're not thinking,
She got this out of
nowhere. Let me find the hole in this story. You're thinking, oh, how does that make sense with my experience? Well, oh, it does make sense.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that people see how fixated on the Kennedys Marilyn was. And so they automatically think, okay, this is a rational brain. And so there has to be more to the story. Because a rational brain isn't going to sleep with Jack one time and then think that Bobby's going to marry you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or you're about to become the first lady. Yeah, so I also think that
they're just trying to figure out where this came from and trying to make sense of it.
With the whole Frank Sinatra stuff, Jack and Bobby were guilty by association. They should not have been hanging out with people who were hanging out with the mafia. Jack should not have been sleeping with Judith Campbell Exner.
For sure. Bobby shouldn't have even called Marilyn. Like, seriously. You guys were messy.
They made it believable. They made the story believable and have a foundation of truth.
Right.
Without their actions, there would have been...
You're right.
The rumors would have been such light little rumors.
Yeah, if JFK would not have been who he was, it wouldn't have been
People would have
thing.
Been like, right.
Yeah. You're right.
But it lines up with how they were with other people. Uh-huh. So why wouldn't that make sense with Marilyn?
True. Yep. Also, this is a life lesson. Remember, teach your kids who you hang out with and where you are on Friday night. Even if you don't do anything wrong, Bobby, it looks just as bad. And you can literally go to jail because you were there and everybody saw you there talking to Marilyn. Interviewer to Arthur James.
When did the Bobby thing start?
James.
After Jack. The meeting place was at Peter Lawford's house in Malibu.
Yet another instance when someone says something that definitely has some truth, but like the perspective changes everything. And when you just hear it as a general sentence point blank, sounds really bad. Sounds a certain way. And it's like,
paints a picture, does it? It paints a picture.
Exactly.
So Jack had an affair with Marilyn, and then Jack was done with her and passed her off.
So when did the Bobby thing start?
His little brother, Bobby.
So they met at Peter Lawford's house, for sure. At a dinner party with Ethel and the rest of the siblings and a bunch of friends. It wasn't a date. Also, when did the Bobby thing start? Yeah, she started talking to Bobby after Jack. Because it was cleanup. It was a courteous...
I'm sorry my brother screwed you over.
Yeah, exactly. Don't call the White House.
Call me.
It's just crazy. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
And I wouldn't have thought that there would be ways to like explain all of this where that sentence could be true and yet it mean nothing is true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How has this been that big of a mystery for so long? And blood and business can only do so much. The lies are going to be believed until forever and eternity. But wow, is that not crazy how much we will just...
It's a good life lesson.
Yeah. The gossip, the rumors. Holy cow.
Literally word for word, it's true. But all of the context, do you know what I mean?
Because we all know, they had an affair. Jack had one night with Marilyn Monroe, turns into full on passing her around all the Kennedy men.
Also,
it was their undoing.
Life lesson for Jack.
Yeah.
If you just wouldn't.
If you just wouldn't.
You wouldn't ruin your whole family's reputation. You know what I mean?
You shouldn't have been there.
It's almost as if. He shouldn't have been there.
And he's a mere product of his freaking father.
Yeah.
So, did he ruin it?
True.
Or was it already
ruined? You're right. Oh, okay. This is also... I don't know. Raise one eyebrow. According to actress Jeannie Martin, which apparently her name is Jeannie, not Jean. We looked it up and the French pronunciation was Jean.
Jean, and the American pronunciation was Jean.
Yeah.
So she was just unique. She had a special, unique pronunciation.
So according to actress Jeannie Martin, Dean Martin's wife, the goings-on at the Lawford Santa Monica home were
not discreet at all. Of course, there was nothing discreet about the Kennedys either.
All true. They weren't discreet because there was nothing happening. They were just two friends. Meeting each other, two friends of Pat meeting each other.
That is exactly my thought. I'm like, they were not discreet at all. Correct. And if they're not being discreet at all, maybe it's because there's nothing going on. But then you put that sighting, them not being discreet at all, doing the twist in the living room, combined with Marilyn's quotes that she's told her friends.
Combined with all of the like glamour and gore surrounding the Kennedys, they are larger than life in these people's point of view. And really, they're just people. Like, they're wild, but they are not that wild.
Right.
And it, with them, anything is believable because they were
promiscuous.
And also, and what crazy. In the world? How? How are you even a thing?
Yeah.
So they can do no wrong. They can do inhuman things.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And they can be twisted into...
And Peter Lawford was a sex addict and da da da. Like, there, it's just, there are seeds of the truth. Then she goes on.
Peter would obviously be, you know, sort of pimping for both Kennedys. They would just as soon do it in front of anybody. Their wives were often in the other room.
Actually, Ethel was more excited to see Marilyn. And literally, Peter didn't even bring Marilyn. Pat invited Marilyn to the dinner party. You know?
Yeah. Also, whoa, that we literally thought. Do you remember what we thought of Pat before we really knew much about the Kennedys?
Oh,
that Pat was so disgusting and so desensitized to the Kennedy men way.
We literally
that she was just hosting orgies for her brothers.
And we were like, they were poor Jackie had to deal with this happening at her sister-in-law's house.
Of course she couldn't have been friends with her. And it's completely...
Like, we don't even know. Like, it's Jack. So probably he had sex at the Lawford's house. But we don't even actually know that that happened. We know that it didn't happen with Marilyn. And we know that it didn't happen with Bobby. So...
And I was literally picturing...
Yes, same.
This, like, disgustingly, like,
1960s, 70s
orgy party where, like, Pat is literally procuring women, like, mm-hmm. these innocent women for her brothers, inviting them over. Pat and Peter are going to host this party. And then all of a sudden there's drugs, alcohol, orgies. Literally, I was thinking.
Because we just assume that Hollywood people and celebrities.
Are just absolutely out of control. Wild.
Yes. We just assume just that animal. All of them are
savage.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. Also, thinking back to the other quote that fed into that reputation or that like idea of Pat that I had was the one time in Hollywood when her dad came to visit. Same. And she asked.
I was literally thinking of that exact.
Yeah. Exact. She asked if. Like one of the
girls could like girls line up
at the movie studio. Yeah, had like women that her dad could hang out with. And now looking back, I'm like, she was kind of young. I wonder at all if she knew what she was doing. You know what I mean? Or if like, because with how naive, we knew what happened to animals. We just didn't associate it with human beings. I just wonder.
If she knew what she was actually asking.
Right. If, yeah. What she thought about what. She was saying.
I definitely don't think that she understood what she was saying. And I'm also wondering because they said, I think it was episode 20, where Ethel would ask, oh, set him up with a nice girl to go to the dinner party, whatever, with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that was a thing in the culture back then of like you always had sort a of date. Like a dinner date.
Yeah. You're right.
You didn't like show up places by yourself really.
I for sure think that's
and
true.
And so I think that Pat would have thought, oh, you just don't go to events by yourself. You take someone.
Yes.
So who's a family friend? Do you have anyone who would want to go to this thing with my dad?
That blows my mind. I feel like that has to be
not like,
it
can
is.
You give me a list of women that will sleep with my father to keep him entertained for the 48 hours that he's in Los Angeles?
I mean, that just doesn't make sense. With what, knowing what we, I mean, you would have to be a very, very extreme person.
Even knowing who Joe Sr. is, there's no way he's no asking way. Little innocent Pat, he sheltered the girls way more than he sheltered the boys.
For sure. I think Pat was just trying to be kind and take care of her dad and literally get him an accompaniment, like a date.
But looking back, especially with hindsight, because I'm sure the rumors about Joe Sr., Jack, Bobby, Ted, the affairs and the serial cheating.
They did not know we know
exploded after they all passed and the assassinations, and there was even more highlighting of the Kennedy family. Things are always glamorized, romanticized after people die, especially when they die in such tragic ways and so young, and so many of them died. The Kennedy curse,
I mean,
is fascinating to people. I mean, why would it not be fascinating?
So it's every detail that has a seed of truth, you're going to exaggerate. It's like the guy at the party who like wants everybody to be like, oh, what? It's just so easy
and fun.
Yeah.
To
just exaggerate, make it larger just a than little life. Bit.
Yeah.
And then over decades, it just blows up. Oh, this was crazy to think about. You pointed this out, Bethany. Peter, okay, so this is Pat, not Kick. No, not Kick. This is Pat, not Kennedy, Seton Lawford, quote,
"Peter admitted to myself and others that he obtained women for Kennedy, a duty he felt someone had to fulfill.
Usually Dave Powers.
Peter was in a position to arrange for meetings where Kennedy could have privacy with a woman. If the woman was in show business, such as Marilyn Monroe, it was easy for Peter to travel with her or to be seen with her. Two actors out together implied business, especially if there was no hint of an intimate relationship. Thus, Peter could obtain the woman, help them enter his home or another rendezvous location, then discreetly step aside when Kennedy arrived."
And maybe that was true with other people.
But it
but what did you point out?
With Marilyn.
Why?
Because he's hanging out with Marilyn all the time?
Because, in hindsight, after hearing the whole story, no, Peter is not just, like, out and about touting that he's hanging out with Marilyn or, like, oh, we're on business because he's going to take her back to JFK.
He's literally hanging out with
friends with Marilyn.
Like, close friends. That is just insane for people to think. Why would Peter Lawford be with Marilyn Monroe? Yeah, in this day and age to think that, because who in the crud is Peter Lawford?
He would be hanging out with Marilyn
Monroe. No, it only makes sense that Peter Lawford would be hanging out with Marilyn Monroe if he's hanging out with her in order to.
Here's some more context. Yeah, just to be the go-between between the two famous people who had an affair, quote-unquote, or slept together one time. But for y'all to be friends just hanging out is absurd.
No way.
Marilyn Monroe's not going to hang out with who's Peter Lawford.
Who's Peter Lawford.
But listen to this also. Who is it coming from? Patricia Seton Lawford is, what, 40 years younger than Peter? 40 years? She ain't got no clue what's going on. And she's filtering these things that Peter's telling her. And she applied Marilyn Monroe to the thing that he told her about, you know, just people in general.
Women, yeah. And you notice she doesn't even say like he did with Marilyn.
Right. She didn't know that. She's just saying, oh, actresses like Marilyn.
It wasn't suspicious for people.
Crazy. Even quotes straight from her, you know?
Uh-huh.
Then, when Jeannie Martin is asked,
was there a Bobby thing or a Jack thing?
You know what she said?
Both.
And in hindsight, kind of.
Kind of.
But not really.
But also not at all. Did she talk to them both? Yes. Did she have a private relationship with both of them? Yes.
This is confirmed by the White House call logs. There are too many recorded calls between Marilyn and the president for it to have just been a casual acquaintance or even friendship. Nobody said whether or not these calls were answered, you know?
Yep.
And Bobby's secretary suggests the same about him. So it's like the secretary is Bobby's. And yeah. She did talk to Bobby a lot.
She did talk to Marilyn a lot, you're saying?
Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm saying she, as in Marilyn, did talk to Bobby a lot. Marilyn didn't talk to JFK a lot. And it says the White House call logs say that there are too many recorded calls. But that sounds like super convicting information, but it doesn't say that they were answered, you know?
Or how long they were.
Or who
answered them.
Yes, who they talked to. They were calls to the president, but that doesn't mean the president talked to her. And then there's that party in the summer of 1954 where Jackie and Jack got invited by Peter Lawford, and it was like a bunch of celebrities. And Marilyn and Joe DiMaggio were there and they were married at the time. And
yes,
he kept pulling on her elbow and being like, I've had enough of this. Let's go.
And they were both flirting. Marilyn yes. and Jack were apparently making it very obvious they're flirting with each other.
And Jackie saw it too and she was upset. That could have been the one time they did meet sometime in the 1950s. But they didn't really get to know each other. So people see them flirting and then what? 7 years later, they actually do sleep with each other. And then people
it's
are
been
just
going
like,
on this whole time. It started at that dinner party that I was at. Remember, they were flirting.
So straight up,
they've had a 7 year long affair.
Yeah. Like,
why
that,
not?
Jack, that started back in the 1950s, you know?
Mm-hmm. They were just two isolated events.
Two isolated events. And it actually is a large ask to believe that JFK and Marilyn were flirting like that, didn't sleep with each other, and then didn't talk for 7 years, and then had a one-time sleeping together, like, fling on a wing. And that just launches Marilyn into this obsession with being either Jack or Bobby's wife. Like, that's a tall tale to explain that JFK and Marilyn didn't have an affair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's asking...
I also think if you just think about the two people we're talking about, John F. Kennedy, Jack Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
and Marilyn Monroe,
mm-hmm.
who are they not flirting? Like, they're mm-hmm. flirty people. They yep. are both extremely charismatic, flirty people. So it sounds so scandalous. They're like making eye contact. They're laughing.
You're right.
The touch of the arm right in front of their spouses. And it's like,
this is a Tuesday night, bruh.
They are acting the way that they act with literally everyone. And Jack had an incredible ability to make you feel like you were the only person in the room.
That and Marilyn allegedly didn't want to leave. Because why would she?
Because who did?
Okay, and every single quote from freaking Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, not Jimmy Hoffa.
I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
Fred Odash.
Yes, disregard.
I'm like,
not to be trusted, unreliable source.
The way that he phrases things, you are literally trying to make this the most dramatic, like,
you have insider news that nobody else has.
I don't want to get into the moans and groans of their relationship.
You would only phrase it like that if you wanted to be in print, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, that is... not reliable information. Okay, anyways, next. So he's also one of the witnesses to those tapes where allegedly Bobby and Peter Lawford
that like
are
no one basically has heard. Yeah.
Marilyn around, like banging Marilyn around.
Okay. So it sounds like someone got laid on the bed.
I was
and there's
going
like
to say banging the hangers. But like, then I was like,
what in the world? These people with their large imaginations.
Okay, so should I
read this? No, I think it's freaking hilarious. Also, what is the quote that is it Tara Brelli who says, were all these historians and journalists just that dumb and naive? Looks like it. But also, it's not that tall of a tale. But also, look at this information. It's
I know.
Ridiculous.
It, like, to believe it is nuts. And then we stumbled upon the FBI, third in command, who literally is saying, yeah, we made all that stuff up.
So it's like these people are... It's,
the FBI reports. If you tell someone it's in the FBI report or I heard it from an FBI agent, like the police officers did in LA,
uh-huh.
I heard it from an FBI agent. I believe that Bobby was here.
This weekend. Yeah.
That sounds like good information.
Too bad
and
it's
it
not.
Wasn't.
Yeah, we think it's wild that this rumor has lasted so long. Nobody's cleared it up. It's because of stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that it's ever going to be cleared up because it was so tainted from the get-go.
Yeah.
And there were too many, quote-unquote, reliable people, close friends
yes.
and family members
yes.
that agreed with the rumors
yep.
that it's never going to be, their name will never be cleared.
Nope.
Not that it, I mean, Jack did.
Yeah.
Sleep with Marilyn Monroe.
It's really not like it's that far off
it's just,
from like the morals
yes.
of the Kennedys. But poor Bobby.
Poor Bobby. Yeah.
But also.
Poor Bobby. But
you
also,
knew what you
why,
were doing.
Why do human beings have this dark, disgusting fascination with
Oh, yeah.
Gross things. Like, we want to keep this rumor around. And
we want it to be with both of them. We want it to be like this.
But, like, who cares about the Special Olympics? Oh, who cares about any of the good that they did? We only want to, we only care.
You're right.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Just something about the human condition. It's the same part of us that liked to watch gladiators murder each other for entertainment.
Yeah, and not even if it bleeds, it leads. Not even do we want to carry on this rumor. How in the world in 2022 is there a freaking movie, a film made about Marilyn where JFK is raping her?
Yeah, I...
Like, we just make it so much worse than it... That. Yeah.
And
just absolutely what a disgusting victimizing
thing
Marilyn.
To do to both of them. Like, not just JFK.
That just is rewriting horrific. Someone's life, rewriting someone's trauma. That's not what even happened.
Nope. And it's sad to tell people that that happened to her and that she was trying to be with somebody that did that to her. That's so awful. Jeannie Carmen was a regular Lawford Party attendee. She saw Marilyn and Jack Kennedy together lots of times. What, maybe
once? Or maybe twice?
Maybe
in front of the whole nation when she sang happy birthday.
That's one. And then maybe she was at Bing Crosby's house too.
And maybe magically also sometime in the 1950s.
She was at that dinner party. So there's three. We can come
lots
up with three.
Lots of times.
Peter introduced me to the president at the beach house. He was the go-between.
What are you trying to say?
The go-between.
You and Jack? I don't know. Like, reading that back, I'm like,
wait, say it again.
What was she trying to say? Peter introduced me to the president at the beach house. He was the go-between.
Who said that?
I like that term better than pimp. Jeannie Carmen. Wait, Jeannie Carmen? Okay, this is what's confusing. Jean Carmen?
Jeannie
or
Carmen.
Jeannie Carmen?
Who knows? Who cares?
And Jean Martin or Jeannie Martin?
Who knows?
Carmen. This is Carmen.
He was the go-between. So you're saying Peter Lawford was friends with Marilyn and also happened to be JFK's brother-in-law. The mutual friend.
Yes, but I'm just saying, why is she saying Peter introduced me to the president at the beach house? He was the go-between. Were you one of the girls that he was procuring for Jack?
I have no idea.
Doesn't it kind of sound like that?
Yeah.
I like that term better than pimp.
No, it also kind of just sounds like...
It could be either, but it's like he right introduced in a row me, like that.
Oh, by the way, Peter's the go-between for anyone and JFK.
Or it could have been two sentences she said 30 minutes apart, pasted together. For
the world may never know.
It was so easy for Peter because he had that house and made it easy for everyone. I was always amazed, though, at anybody coming there, especially the president, because it wasn't a totally private house. There were houses right next door.
Maybe he wasn't going there to do totally private things.
There's a thought. Oh, this is too...
This is too funny. Listen to this.
Okay, I'm skipping that one.
Oh, that's so special. What did you say? What did you say that one time?
Such a sweet surprise. What in the world? I think about that all the time. Such a sweet. And when I hear the word sweet, I'm like, in my defense,
she did not.
In my defense, I have to introduce these random little stories and somehow like segue into them way more often than a normal human. Okay.
Yeah. I know. But still, even that for you is just a bit much.
Oh, this is too funny.
That's better than a sweet surprise. This is my special friend.
Okay, well, you know what? That was sweet. And it did surprise
me. Okay, you could have said this was so surprising and also so sweet. Sure. Okay. A sweet surprise. Just not at all ever coming out of your mouth.
Occurred to me at the time. Okay, so the too funny bit. That sounds so British to me. So you know what? It's all your fault for playing British.
Only the bit part, not any of the rest.
Too funny. It's too funny.
I don't think I've ever said that.
No, British people
say
that. And you are always listening to British crap. Okay. Mrs. Jeannie Martin also mentioned that Peter and Jack had slowly become
more and more reckless with Marilyn.
Because Marilyn wasn't doing well. She was showing up to places. Like, people were seeing Pat and Peter walking out of the hotel with Marilyn barely able to stand up. Like, obviously people saw stuff. Peter and Pat were not discreet because they were her actual friend and were trying to be there for her no matter what it looked like. And then people just saw Jack and Marilyn together once, maybe twice, and then the whole happy birthday thing.
Yeah.
And melded it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this sounds like we're literally just trying to clear the Kennedy's name, and we aren't. About Marilyn, first of all. Also just trying to figure out what the crud happened, because I just grew up believing, like, yeah, for sure they had a massive affair. Knowing nothing about Pat or Peter.
Because that is what I literally thought until I wrote the episode 19 and 20. Like,
absolutely.
Straight up. We've already been talking about the Kennedys for, 10 months now? I still thought that. Literally. I'm like, for sure. Look at Jack. Look at his reputation. For sure that's true. And you know what? Maybe Bobby also. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, same.
But I was full on board with the fact that
that was legit.
To the point that I picked up J. Randy Tarabrelli's book and I literally said, I just don't even know if I can trust him anymore, because that's so ridiculous that he's seriously saying that Marilyn and Jack spent one weekend together.
Weeks ago.
Like, literally.
Cassie was writing the script and reading. I was editing, sitting on the couch together. Yeah, we don't believe anything when we hear it the first time. We have to vet it through, four different historians before we're like, okay, that makes sense with who we know the Kennedys are. But with facts like that, it was one night with Marilyn Monroe. I literally said, yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Cassie was like, I don't know.
Well, because at first I was like, no, I literally, when I first read that, I told you the same thing. I was like, there is no way. I just don't even know if I can use any of his stuff anymore.
Like, yeah, that was like literally crap.
I was worried, like a little panic. Then I started to read it and I was like, I don't know, Bethany. I don't know. He's convincing me. And then I finished the book and I was like, wow. Just wow. It exonerates Bobby.
Yeah.
But
it's also pretty terrible. And
it's also true. And they also used her with the whole happy birthday thing. And speaking of happy birthday, remember Mickey Song, the hairstylist?
Yes.
Remember that scene where he said that he was doing Marilyn's hair, Bobby came in, asked him to leave. He stayed in there with Marilyn for 15, 20 minutes, left. And then afterward, Marilyn asked him to help her get herself back together.
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, that sounds pretty clear, what happened. But then you think about it and you think about all the other things that Bobby was doing and all the other people that said that this is what Bobby was doing. He was literally trying to keep the lid on the thing, manage Marilyn, talk her down off of her ledge, keep it out of the media, keep her from coming out in public, keep her away from the president.
Keep her just stable,
minimize
period.
It, just put a lid on the situation.
Make sure she was okay.
She's upset. She's talking to Bobby and her hair gets messed up. Like, it's really not that
great. Or can you help me get myself together? I'm emotional right now.
Right.
Help me pull it together. I feel unstable. Whatever Bobby just said to me, I'm not feeling great. I need to get myself together.
I need to ground myself.
Yeah, yes. Help me pull myself together so I can go out and do this performance as Marilyn Monroe. Help me get myself together does not mean I just had a quickie with Bobby Kennedy and my hair and my makeup is,
I mean,
all over the place.
That is nuts. The ways that you can look at the exact same sentence two very completely different ways is crazy. He's also the one that said, well, they're not mistreating me at all, and didn't tell Marilyn anything. And then in hindsight, found out that Marilyn was recording him.
Yeah. And then later on down the road, decides, oh, crap, I think they were using her. They were not being nice to her. And it wasn't a good situation. In hindsight, when he was in it, he didn't see that at all.
Right.
So that's also interesting.
Even, and you could say that they were abusing her, quote unquote, as Bobby was going in there to tell her, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Move on. Be quiet.
Well, for sure, they were controlling things.
So.
But I think that he was more so with, It sounds to me like the people who were living it out thought, because think about the world that they live in. Think about who Marilyn Monroe is.
Yeah.
Like, for us, is that like extremely toxic and wild and insane if we were a part of this? Yes. For Mimi, it was too.
Yeah.
But for people who grew up in it, who are,
mm-hmm.
they are all like, yeah, this adds up. Really hot, glamorous people sleep around and have toxic traits. Yeah. Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he saw anything, any red flags at all while he was in it. And then in hindsight, everyone kind of explained it to him.
You're
and he
right.
was like, oh, shoot, that was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so alarming that when you're in it, you really see it. Which sounds horrible. Maybe we're not going to leave that in. But
I do think that there are like nuanced, slightly like, okay, that wasn't right of them to allow her to perform for JFK like that.
No, they
like
did a lot of horrible things. They did a lot of things wrong.
But could you go to jail for that? Is it like a crime? No, which is a mistreatment of someone's emotions.
Yeah.
It's not. So, I don't know.
And
he, looking back, probably was like, I wish I wouldn't have been a part of that. You know?
Yeah. And I wish I would have seen how poorly Marilyn was doing.
Right.
And with what he said, they're not mistreating me at all. Completely defending the Kennedys. Yeah, maybe he's like, okay, I shouldn't have been so gung-ho for the team
Absolutely.
Kennedy and heard her out a little bit more and been more understanding of
But
of
when
the
someone's
pain
asking
that
you,
she was in.
Have you seen them with any other women and they're married?
Yeah, he's like, what are you even talking about? No.
I'm saying out of this.
But he would have treated her with gloves
on. He should
on more
have,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, if he would have known the situation.
But like we didn't know who JFK was, that people didn't know what was going on with Marilyn either. At the time. Another event that we can kind of look at Bobby's behavior in a different light is when Adlai Stevenson wrote that he saw Marilyn at the party. She was just wearing skin and beads. I didn't see the beads. My encounters, however, were only after breaking through the strong defenses established by Robert Kennedy, who was dodging around her like a moth around a flame. At first, I'm like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing, Bobby. Like, oh my gosh, just the absolute falling and fawning over people. And then I think, who's Bobby? When he wanted people to take him seriously, he called Bobby. When he needed to clean up, he called Bobby.
The bulldog.
He's literally trying to keep a lid on the situation, and he could be dodging around her like a moth around a flame because he's had enough conversations with Miss Marilyn Monroe to know that if she opens her mouth to someone else, she might tell them that they went on a date, you know?
Yeah.
If Jean knew that Marilyn's saying that she's dating Bobby and writes a letter to Marilyn, Bobby probably knows the rumors too,
yeah.
or what Marilyn is saying. And he's like trying to be the buffer.
Frank Sinatra, can someone keep an eye on her?
Yes. For real.
You're not, so, like, she was not the most composed. Predictable.
And then the last major event. At least four people say that Bobby was in LA at Pat and Peter's house that weekend. And though he wasn't at Pat and Peter's house, that is the normal place that he would go in California, right?
Right.
So if they knew he was in California,
why would he not be at Pat and Peter's? Where else would he be?
But actually, he was in San Francisco. And Pat told Marilyn he's at the St. Francis with Ethel and four of their kids. Ethel and four of their kids were with Bobby at a ranch, like 45 minutes south of San Francisco. And the St. Francis did confirm that they got a bunch of calls.
From Marilyn Monroe.
From Marilyn Monroe to Bobby. But the girl who was
paid off to give away.
No, she wasn't paid off.
Oh. Oh,
maybe
the journalist
lady
paid
fine.
The call lady.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I was saying the journalist.
Okay.
I was saying the journalist lady.
Who got the information.
Reported that the hotel operator noted, I don't remember that any of these calls were returned. Because Bobby wasn't there. And I almost wonder if they, I don't know. They're the Kennedys, so maybe. If they like told any of the hotel staff that they could take calls for Bobby or like write them down or something like that. Like if Pat told them that. Because like, why would they even take calls for him if he wasn't staying there, you know? If he's not in the
Yeah, what in the world? I
guest
have no
registry.
Idea. I don't know how any of that works though. Like, do they not just call and ask for someone and...
They just write the message down?
Yeah, but if they're like, oh, I can't patch you through because that person doesn't exist here.
Yeah, they're not staying here.
Then they wouldn't write down the letter, the note.
Right.
And the person would wait that's calling to be patched through to the other person.
Yeah.
So if they...
So maybe they said, just take messages for Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because Pat knew exactly what was going to happen.
And she was a mastermind the whole time. Also, maybe to sound to Marilyn, because if Marilyn calls and she's like, no, Bobby's not
right,
staying.
Right, exactly.
Then
it will alert.
Or then Marilyn is going to say, call Pat and say, Bobby's not staying there. Where is he staying? So Pat was like thinking ahead. She's being very persistent and insistent that she wants to talk to Bobby. So I'm going to tell her this. And then I'm going to tell the people.
I mean, yeah. if
she
was
managing
really,
the situation.
If it was really an effort to throw Marilyn off, then that makes sense to me. Also, surrounding that weekend, the LAPD chief of detectives, Thad Brown, and Deputy DA John Dickey both told fellow police officers that they believed that Bobby was in Los Angeles that day. And Frank Neal, a former employee of 20th Century Fox, later stated that Bobby arrived by helicopter at a landing pad near the studio's Stage 18, which was often used by the Beverly Hilton Hotel for that purpose. So some of those quotes like that, it's like, I don't know where exactly they came from. I know one of the police officers got the information from an FBI agent. So that was just a straight up lie. And then maybe Bobby Kennedy did take a helicopter. He was in California. And then
they
he
just
filled
got
in the
locations
rest.
Wrong. Yeah.
Right. Because that was off, like that studio stage 18 was normally used for people flying into the Beverly Hilton Hotel. And he heard that Bobby used the helicopter.
Yeah, if he was flying into this, then he would have used this. So I'm telling you.
Right. So I don't know, but those statements alone do not prove
anything.
Right. Yeah. Like there's just people said stuff.
Yeah, it could totally be assumptions or just people wanting to act like they had information that they didn't have.
Now that.
Or the FBI messing with things.
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows? And then a couple of the people who should know better, but maybe didn't. According to both Marilyn's former business partner, Milton Green, and Peter's third wife, so the one right before Pat, not Kennedy, Seton Lawford, Deborah Gold, Peter admitted to them that Bobby was in LA and that he went to see Marilyn. But what time? Which time? Because it could have been the time he went to go see her house.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been that he was in California that day, but he wasn't in, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just...
It's not specific enough at all.
At all. It's also not a direct quote from Peter.
Also, when you're being asked a question, like, do you remember if Bobby Kennedy was in LA on such and such date and seeing Marilyn Monroe? You're like, maybe, sure. Did they meet up? Yes. Definitely saw them together.
It's just...
And the journalist is like, confirmation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the taxi or the valet or the friend who supposedly rode home with Bobby and Marilyn. He was
like,
who,
I can't say that we did not take her home.
Did we ride in a taxi? I remember her being at that party. I was at that party. Bobby was at that party.
Maybe. Okay. This is a story I don't know the answer to. Pat Newcomb stayed the night at Marilyn's and reported that she, a drunk and angry Marilyn, in the late night hours of August 3rd, called the St. Francis and left yet another message. Then she took some Nembutal pills and went to bed. Marilyn reported to Jeannie Carmen, who knows, the next morning that she had been disturbed all throughout the night by anonymous telephone calls.
Leave Bobby alone, you tramp. Leave Bobby alone.
The calls didn't stop until 5:30 a.m.
Marilyn said she couldn't tell who it was,
Carmen said.
She didn't think it was Ethel. She said she'd recognize Ethel's voice, but she did think it was somebody Ethel had put up to it. She said the voice did kind of sound familiar, but she couldn't place it.
You think it was a preppy, posh punk?
I mean, a voice that she would have...
Vaguely.
That sounded familiar, but couldn't exactly place.
It wasn't Ethel's, but maybe someone Ethel had put up to it.
Maybe Ethel's best friend who had already sent a nasty letter in the mail. I mean...
It has to be either her or It's like some random prank call. I don't know. Who would be calling saying leave Bobby alone other than Jean?
I swear it was Jean. It has to be. It lines up with so many other things that she did, said, who she was, why she would be so emotional about it. I think it was Jean.
Leave Bobby alone, you tramp. Who else?
It was actually probably more like, leave Bobby alone, you tramp. It was Jean.
Yeah, we're assuming it's like,
and it's probably like, I'll fucking knock you out.
Now, did the Kennedys wipe her house clean of all photo evidence, of all documentation regarding the Kennedys and Marilyn Monroe's relationship?
I'm super undecided on this. I don't know what to think because could I see them doing that? For sure. Do I think there were any photos to wipe? No. I don't.
They just did not take photos like we do now.
At all. Like, Bethany can't
trying
even
to find
Joe Nair.
One photo on the internet exists of him in all entirety. One. And and I had to figure out his middle name in order to get that
wow.
one photo.
Yeah.
Because it didn't show up originally. People back then just did not take photos like we do now.
Also, I mean, they were only together one weekend. Pat, they would have to take a picture that one weekend.
Pat, in general, has hardly any photos of her as an adult.
Yeah.
She has more photos of her as a kid than she does in her Hollywood
yeah.
days.
Because Dad was making sure.
Yeah. They were documenting it. And I couldn't even find a photo of Bobby, Ethel, Pat, and Peter, just them four in the 60s. Couldn't find it. I found some. Well, in the late 60s, I could find some post JFK. But like in the early 60s, late 50s.
Yeah.
People just did not take photos.
They didn't. No, they didn't have a smartphone in their hand and social media to post it on. What were they going to do with all these photos? And especially if you're the president and you're out gallivanting for the one weekend, there better not be anyone taking photos. Yeah. There's actually Secret Service agents hiding in the curtains and
making
the bushes.
Making sure you don't be taking any photos. And also Frank Sinatra, his men will also get you if you take any photos.
That's so true. So, are there photos?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly. So I highly doubt there was ever photos. However,
could they have wiped?
Did someone go and grab Marilyn's diary? Maybe. There was a lot written in there. And why would they have grabbed it? Probably not to protect the Kennedys. More so to protect Marilyn. Like the PR agent, you know? Like yeah. How many hours?
Either that or Eunice Murray and Dr. Greenson had something to hide. No, that's my little speculative, but something was happening with them.
Yeah,
the doctor
it was
and the nurse that's
weird.
Not a nurse. They're freaking weird, whether they were narcissists or
just control
power tripping.
Hungry. Yeah.
Yeah. Or what's it called? Like Munchausen's by proxy sort of a thing going on. Weird. I don't
no
know.
No well adjusted person would behave that way.
No. And why in the world do you not think it's a big deal that she's overdosing? Why in the world are you giving her three times the amount of medicine that she should be taking? And why in the world did you wait hours upon hours upon hours to call the police when she was already dead?
So don't
why
ever,
did you just let her lock her in her room at night? Why did you have to go through the window if there was no lock on her bedroom door? Why did you change your story later on?
And yeah, there are lots of questions about that. So don't ever just assume that the people who are supposed to be caring for your loved ones are actually caring for them. Better check up on that. Also, the FBI file that, like, just happened to disappear.
Yeah, get taken.
That's likely. And where are these tapes? Show me the tapes.
Where are the tapes that just got taken?
And the only person that I know that, like, I've seen say anything else about anything is freaking Fred Otash. Like, and the spindle guy is, like,
basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who capitalize on an opportunity. It was literally their career.
Yeah, and all these friends of Marilyn.
Yeah.
Are they getting paid for this or what's going on there?
Like,
why are they doing their interviews?
They probably, honestly, because they heard from Marilyn.
They want to like set it straight.
They feel like they have the truth.
Yeah.
Because they heard from Marilyn.
Yeah.
And they probably liked Marilyn. Marilyn was a very likable person.
Yes.
So.
My mom loved her like a little sister.
Yeah. And they probably felt like, at least the Greenson family, probably felt like they were kind of her protectors mm-hmm. in life, even though their dad did a terrible job.
Yeah.
But
they definitely felt responsible for her.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So they probably feel like if she told me and people are saying things, I want to
speak for her because she can't defend herself or speak for herself. Yeah.
Well, Case closed.
That was our moment of true crime for the Kennedy saga. Although the Rosemary episodes were such a fun investigation.
Because we didn't know real time, answer.
Like us actually trying to hunt down what in the crud happened here.
Uh-huh.
Loved those episodes.
Yeah. And we didn't know the Kennedys well enough at that point to just like be able to line it up with past experience
and be confident about. Yeah. Well, that was episode 3 and 4.
We were literally trying to figure out like what these is going on. Yes. So that was crazy. It was real time. We didn't know the answer beforehand. This it's like we kind of figured it out in the main episodes and
kind of backtracked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we will be circling right back to our true crime
conspiracy debunking investigation
with the blackest mark on the Kennedy family.
And then after that, the season will end, but the conspiracies will not.
Right.
We shall return to we'll be back. Dissect the assassinations.
Even
are
after.
Are you saying that?
No, don't say that. Okay, yeah, say that. So season two is going to come to an abrupt end. But don't fret, even though season two will be over as you knew her, we will be back. We still have too much left unsaid. So even if you don't see us for a time, don't go too far because we'll be back.
Join us here next week to hear all about the papers, the thumbtacks, the red string investigation into everything Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day-to-day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.